This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. On July 1st, Vermont will become the first state in the nation to require labeling of genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, on foods being sold to the public. For years, consumer groups have tried and failed to require labeling in states around the country, and food industry lobbyists have spent millions of dollars fighting such initiatives. Well, in Vermont, democracy finally prevailed on this issue. But now, the U.S. Senate, in what many are calling a poorly drafted bill, is attempting to undo the Vermont labeling law and others like it with a newly drafted piece of legislation. Joining me is Rebecca Spector. She is the West Coast Director of the Center for Food Safety. Welcome to the program, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we talk about the Senate bill itself, let's give our audience some background, those who have not been paying attention to what's happening in Vermont, how the initiative in Vermont itself passed and came to be. Vermont, long considered one of the most progressive in the nation, have also been very much focused on the issue of GMO labeling. It is a long journey, I understand, from the beginning of the fight to actually passing and making legal this GMO labeling bill, right? Can you give us a brief summary?
Sure. Over the past 5 or 6 years, actually more than 25 states have introduced legislation or had ballot initiatives to mandate the labeling of genetically engineered foods. So this has been going on quite a while. In fact, Oregon was the first state to introduce a ballot initiative back in the early 2000s. So Connecticut was the first state to actually pass a law to label genetically engineered foods. However, that law required that several states in the Northeast region pass similar laws before that law would go into effect. So the Connecticut law passed, and then we were able to get the Vermont law passed after that. And the Vermont law was the first law that did not have that requirement. So meaning that they did not require that other states pass similar laws to go into effect. So Vermont, in effect, really is the first state to do so. As you noted, it's very progressive on a lot of issues, and many people worked really hard to get the bill passed via the legislature. Center for Food Safety, we provided legal support to them, and there's an amazing grassroots community on the ground in Vermont that really pushed to get this bill passed.
Now, I understand that, again, barring the U.S. Senate interfering, the law wouldn't actually take effect for a year?
The law goes into effect July 1st of this year. The state of Vermont has stated that they will not enforce penalties until January of next year. However, there are already many, many products on the shelves in Vermont and also in other states. Here in California, we're seeing products that are labeled as produced using genetic engineering on the shelves. So there in Vermont, we have our members taking pictures and sending them to us. They're on our Twitter feed, and we're seeing products across the country. So the products are already being labeled. We know they can do it.
Right. And so that's just food producers basically seeing the writing on the wall and realizing they might as well just start doing this. And many have individually begun doing it. And of course, they're not going to produce separate labels for their food sold in Vermont. All it takes is really one state requiring it, and food producers, at least the big ones, are going to end up doing it for all states, right?
Right. And prior to this, several months ago, we saw some of the largest food companies like Campbell's, Kellogg's, General Mills, Frito-Lay. They all came out with statements saying, we are going to comply with the Vermont law. We're ready. We're going to label these products, and we're not going to increase the cost to consumers. These are some of our largest food corporations in the country that have said, we're going to do this. They are doing it. The cost of food has not gone up. There is no reason to preempt the state law. It's working, and companies are already doing it with no cost to the consumer.
Right, and yet there is still a core group of companies that doesn't want to see the Grocery Manufacturers Association, a trade organization that many major food companies belong to, I understand, has basically tried to preempt states' rights, which is, of course, a favorite issue of the right wing, to undermine Vermont's law. Let's talk about what's happening at the Senate level. So a state passes, Vermont passes this bill, and now the U.S. government, the federal government, is attempting to step in, at least some senators are attempting to step in, with a bill that seems as though it was crafted essentially by food manufacturers. Tell us what's happening at the Senate.
Sure. So this is not the first time this has happened. Over the past year, there have been several attempts to pass federal legislation that would preempt the Vermont GE labeling bill and any other state GE labeling bill. So the food movement, food advocacy groups like Center for Food Safety and other groups, we've been able to stop these bills several times over the past 6 to 10 months, very successfully. So, however, this new bill is a compromise bill between Republicans and Democrats. However, it says it's a mandatory bill, but it's not a mandatory bill. First, it would not require labeling at all for 2 years. Secondly, then it's up to whoever the Secretary of Agriculture is to decide what that labeling scheme looks like. So it could end up not be labeling at all or a very weak labeling scheme. And some of the things that they've proposed in the bill, for example, are that the food should be labeled using QR codes, which is a code found, a symbol found on a food product that you need a smartphone to scan the product and to figure out if it has genetically engineered ingredients in it.
Which, by the way, is just such a bizarre thing. If they're going to take the trouble to print a code, couldn't they just use that same ink and process to actually print whether this has GMOs or not? It's like, oh, let's just add an extra layer of difficulty between the consumer and information.
Exactly. It's 100% a way to not provide people with general information, and information that, by the way, more than 90% of Americans continually say they want to know if their foods are genetically engineered. This completely denies those people this right. And it also denies two-thirds of the American public that do not have access to a smartphone. So 50% of low-income communities, people in rural communities, the elderly, do not have access to smartphones. So it's not realistic at all to expect any shopper to go into a store, take out their phone, and scan every single product. That's ridiculous. The other option they're offering is an 800 number. Again, ridiculous, that you would have to go into a store and pull out your phone and call an 800 number to find out if a product is genetically engineered. That's not labeling at all. That is not disclosure at all. That's discrimination.
Hmm. And the Vermont bill requires that companies basically say this product contains GMOs, as opposed to basically having, you know, a company that doesn't use GMOs say this is GMO free, which of course a lot of organic producers of food are already doing because they realize it's good marketing. But I understand this is what Vermont is asking, is if there are any GMOs in this food, it has to be clearly labeled as such, right?
Right. And it's actually, the words are produced using genetic engineering or partially produced using genetic engineering. So that's another benefit to companies. If a company doesn't want to go through the trouble of actually finding out if the corn they're using in their tortilla chips is genetically engineered, which they should know, but if they choose not to know that, they can just put on the label partially produced using genetic engineering. So that was a way to accommodate companies that basically didn't want to go through their food chain and find out. They can just put on the product partially produced with genetic engineering or produced using genetic engineering.
So the Senate and some senators are basically racing to pass this before July 1st, and you know they don't have much time.
Yeah, so what we're hearing just today is that they're expecting to take a vote next week. Hmm. And again, because Vermont has said that they won't start enforcing penalties until January, there unfortunately is more time to take to pass this bill. But as you say, they're trying to push it through very quickly. And what we're hearing is that there's going to be a Senate vote next week.
What sort of support is there and what sort of opposition is there? I imagine Vermont's own Senator Bernie Sanders is opposed to the Senate bill.
Yes, Bernie Sanders has come out very strongly against the bill. He's actually put a request to put a hold on the bill, which would stop a vote. He's trying to get other senators to also put a hold on the vote for the bill. So he's been a great ally in this, as has Senator Leahy, also from Vermont. Unfortunately, we are seeing a number of Democratic senators supporting this bill. One of the co-sponsors is Senator Stabenow, who's a Democrat from Michigan. We know that a lot of these Democratic senators in the past have received funds from corporations like Monsanto and other biotech and chemical corporations. So it's possible that has something to do with it. We're very disappointed. We're seeing the Organic Trade Association and Whole Foods supporting the bill, which we are
really
very, very disappointed about.
Wow.
And we think that they are not adequately reading the bill accurately, and also intentionally moving toward QR codes, which is a trend in the food industry, but it should never replace on package labeling with text.
I mean, this whole idea of these QR codes, it's like saying, here's a bunch of information that you should know, and instead of printing them out in letters that you can read, we're going to print them out in a code, a secret code that you have to use an electronic device to decipher. We're going to intentionally turn it into a code that you can't read with your own eyes.
Right.
You know, the space that the code takes up, the ink that it takes up, all of that could be simply turned into letters you could read.
Yeah. The other problem with this bill, and again, nothing is set in stone with the bill. It will be up to the Secretary of Agriculture to decide. But one of the other proposals in the bill is that the manufacturer can choose. So they can choose if they want to put a QR code, or they could choose to put an 800 number, or if they wanted, they could put text. But as we know, faced with that, with those options, they're going to choose the QR code. But here's the problem with this. So we're not going to have a uniform way of labeling anyway. So right now, if you want to know how many calories are in your food or how many fats are in there, you know to look at the nutritional label, and it's right there. And that's what Americans deserve for all their food labeling, to look at a food product, know exactly what they're looking for and what it's supposed to say. It should be uniform, and this bill does not do that. And it's another huge problem with the bill. It's intentionally designed to confuse consumers or to provide them no information. And one really important thing I forgot to mention with the bill is that right now they're trying to change the definition of what constitutes genetically engineered. And their definition, so it's different than Vermont. It's actually different than the international standard that's used in our organic standards. It's used around the world. And this definition would actually eliminate labeling for probably more than 90% of the products on the shelf. So it actually provides a much more limited definition of genetically engineered. So with this definition, many, many fewer products would be labeled.
I mean, on the issue of food labeling in general, right now, the nutritional information that companies are forced to disclose, that too, historically, was a fight, right? I mean, it was because the federal government, on behalf of consumers, mandated that food should be clearly labeled, and here's the format, and here's exactly what you need to put down. And only because of that are food manufacturers, putting that information on there. All Vermont is asking is to add one line if that food has genetically modified ingredients. But of course, these companies would probably, and they probably did fight having that labeling to begin with, right?
Yeah, I think that food labeling has been fought against by food corporations for a long time. So again, food companies are concerned about losing market share.
Right.
So they're concerned that if they put the label produced using genetic engineering, that some people won't buy those products. I think it's interesting that companies like Campbell's was the first major corporation to come out and say that they would label their products that are genetically engineered. And I'm sure that Campbell's did focus groups and realized that they weren't going to lose market share. Otherwise, I don't think that they would have agreed to do that. So I think a lot of these companies have done the research. If there are products that they are concerned about, that consumers might be more worried about, they may choose to change those product lines and use ingredients that are not genetically engineered for those products.
Right. If you believe in the free market, then basically do what people want. I mean, the market, quote unquote, should decide whether consumers prefer one type of food to another.
That's right. And I think, now that people are paying more attention to sugars and the FDA is looking at changing the nutritional label to differentiate between added sugars and other sugars, that they'll find that people don't want added sugars in their food, and that will change the marketplace. And the same thing happened with trans fats. Once trans fats had to be added to the label, companies started reformulating their products so they didn't contain trans fats, knowing that eventually they would have to be phased out. But the point is, they can do it, and they will do it when consumers ask for it.
And I wonder, Rebecca, if the whole conversation around the safety or lack thereof of GMOs has come into this conversation, because a lot of times the opponents of GMO labeling like to paint the proponents of labeling as conspiracy theorists who don't, you know, who haven't been paying attention to all of the studies that apparently show that GMO foods are just as safe as non-GMO foods. Has this issue been focused on the safety of foods?
That's been brought up a lot. Our main argument from a legal point of view is that the foods should be labeled because they are materially different than other foods.
Right, a different process was used to create them.
Right. And so we've actually filed a legal petition with the Food and Drug Administration outlining legally why we think they should label these foods. The FDA, of course, does not agree with that assessment. But people want to know that their foods are produced using a different way. A lot of people are concerned about this technology because more than 90% of the genetically engineered crops out there, which are primarily corn and soy, are designed for one purpose, and that is that farmers can spray more pesticides on it. The plant will not die, but the weeds around it will die. So the primary use of this technology is not to feed the world, it's not to create better nutrition, it's for one purpose, that is to spray more chemicals on the plant and to get rid of the weeds. Consumers do not want that. People do not want more pesticides in their water. They certainly don't want it in their food. We don't want it for farm workers. It's a bad deal for everybody. This technology has resulted in massive increased use of pesticides across the United States.
And I think you bring up a really important point, because companies like Monsanto, who have become invested in the creation of both genetically modified foods and pesticides specifically tailored to those foods, end up with these monopolies and end up with these large profit margins that they rely on. And that's in the end what they end up protecting, right?
Right. So Monsanto is a good example. So they not only own the genetically engineered seed, they also own the chemicals that the farmers are required to use on those seeds when they sign a contract to purchase those seeds. Hmm.
So a very interesting sort of perversion of our food system happening. We will certainly continue to follow up on the story. In the meantime, are you asking for people who are interested in GMO labeling to call their senators on this particular bill that would undermine Vermont's law?
Absolutely. We need people to call their senators today, tomorrow, into next week. They can also go to our website, centerforfoodsafety.org, and we have a really easy mechanism. So if you enter your zip code, we will give you the contact information for your senators and your other representatives.
That's centerforfoodsafety.org, and we'll post a link to that from our website later today. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Rebecca Spector is the West Coast Director at the Center for Food Safety. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.